It's the Free Beer and Hot Wings Show. Thanks for listening wherever you are. Glad you're with us. 1-800-947-3979. FreeBeerAndHotWings.com. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, at FBHW Show. All of us here, hiking. If you go hiking, there are different types of hikes, right? There's some that are not very novice. It's not particularly uphill. You take some water, you're going to be fine. Then there's the other ones
just
where
a walk.
The experts say, you better prepare. This
climbing
one
up
falls into the category of better prepare. And these guys did. And even then, you just don't know.
It's a breathtaking view many don't get the chance to experience. Towering more than 12,700 feet above the Beartooth Mountains, Granite Peak is known for its rugged terrain, unpredictable conditions, and demanding climb. For David Cifaldi and his friends, the goal was to summit Granite Peak and make it back in a single day, a challenge they carefully planned for, but nearly 10 miles in, everything changed.
I just slipped on some rocks. It was just kind of a freak thing. As I rolled over, I noticed one of my trekking poles.
Maitland, where's this trekking pole holstered?
Oh, no!
Under his ribs?
Right.
Yes.
It's through his shirt and disappeared.
And then pops out the back in a wider shot.
And as I kind of set up, I realized that the other one was stuck in my side.
The trekking pole had gone completely through David's side.
I'm not looking.
Oh, no. So it's just under his armpit.
Out the back.
It's just under his armpit and then comes out his back, like mid-back, between his spine and his side.
Message for you, sir.
I mean, that is what it looks like.
It's crazy that it's not bleeding, too. Like, you'd think that something like that, you'd just be gushing blood.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's none.
Don't take it out.
Well, like, it's sealed.
Yeah, it kind of plugged it. I mean, you know, it's done a good
job. It's cartoonish looking.
But that's a, I mean, oh,
worst cartoon ever, but
yes. That is such a thick pole, though. I mean, that's got to be, what, 3/4 of an inch?
Probably,
at least a half an inch.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
that's.
He's like, oh, my God, what happened? And his friends are like, you're fine. Don't look down.
Just pull it out.
You're fine.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Just
pull it out.
Look forward. Look forward. Just keep looking forward.
Feels like something hurts in my ribs. No, your ribs are fine.
Nope, just a bruise.
Looks like you got a bruise on your leg. Your ribs are fine, though.
A bad mosquito bite.
Look over here.
Nothing to see.
Oh, my God. Okay.
David's friend Brad, the moment was shocking.
He kept very calm, and he set the tone for how we handled it coming back. Once he established that he felt like he was okay, he was still talking, he was still breathing, there was not a pool of blood. So at that point, he made the decision that he goes, okay, we got to get off the mountain.
David's other friend, Jesse, used a Garmin satellite communicator to contact search and rescue.
Okay, thank God. I thought they were going to say they walked back. Like, I'm fine. I just rub a little dirt on it.
Right?
At the same time, David relied on the training he uses every day as a wound care nurse at Intermountain Health.
Oh, well, that's helpful. So,
I mean, that's
yes,
a cheat code.
So he feels pretty confident, obviously, at this point, since he's breathing and everything. He hasn't punctured anything vital. No vital organs have been pierced. Thank God.
I think my nurse brain clicked on. And so as soon as I was able to kind of self-assess and really kind of establish that, like, hey, this is not life-threatening right now. I was pretty convinced at that point that I was going to get off that mountain. And
that's wild because even if obviously I wouldn't know that, but if there was someone with his knowledge and skill set with me saying you're going to be fine, I'd be like, let's keep that on the back burner till there's not a spear through me.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It looks like I was judging a javelin competition and I turned the wrong way.
Uh huh.
And I was going to do it under my own power.
That meant turning around, retracing every step they'd already climbed, more than 10 miles.
Wait, what? He did walk back?
He did.
This lunatic. I thought they'd call for a chopper.
There's a photo of him with a foot up on some stacked rocks, looking at the sun, and it's like he posed for the photo with the hiking rod still going through his torso.
Yeah, I mean, this hiking rod is the size of a ski pole.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
Oh, God, just imagine walking and getting that, like, just having that bump into a tree as you walk past
it.
Steve, stop.
That's exactly what would happen to me. All I need is, like, a little hangnail, and I'll bump it on every countertop I walk by.
Do you think when it bumps into things, it makes that noise, then you take a knife and you bounce it off the edge of a table?
Yeah, I imagine so.
Or it just goes like,
ugh.
Miles, with the trekking pole still lodged in his side.
It's a hard enough hike as it is, and you know, it's so rugged. Again, the boulder fields, the snow fields, just the endless switchbacks. And having to do that with so much precision, so, you know, there isn't another fall, the condition doesn't change.
That'd be the scary part.
Imagine you fell and get well, one in the other side.
I mean, now, the other one goes in you. Like, God dang it.
Well, it looks like a pincushion.
I guess my hands are free now.
He was just so focused and locked in. It was just incredible that he was able to do it for that long.
On the way back down, Brad and Jesse closely monitored David, and together the three friends slowly worked their way off the mountain.
I don't think it's something you could do alone.
Do you think there was one guy who was like, yeah, you know, I'm glad we're going back, but it would have been nice to make it to the top. We were almost there.
We basically got there, and it would have been even cooler to take a helicopter ride back down.
Rescued at the top, but now we're just walking 10 miles back down. And
watching David show off.
Yeah, just so you can get on the local news.
Somebody just wants to show off his LinkedIn credit. Ooh, look at King Nurse.
You know, very grateful for both Brad and Jesse. Jesse walked ahead of us and kind of set the path for our way back down. Brad walked behind me and just kind of monitored the wound the whole time.
Oh, lucky him. He got to stare at that the whole time.
Back there throwing up.
Is there any blood? No, a ton of barf, though.
After 6.5 hours, they reached the trailhead. David was taken to a hospital in Columbus before being transferred to Intermountain Health in Billings, where doctors safely removed the trekking pole.
What did they put in there?
New poles. That's what it looked like. I don't know.
I think it's Bounty paper towel.
It looks like a piece of Romex wire.
It does.
It really does.
Boy, it's like heavy wiring.
Yeah.
Trekking pole.
Oh, my God.
He is now recovering at home, grateful for the people who helped him through every step of the journey.
I feel very lucky. I feel very, I feel like somebody was definitely watching out for me.
Yeah. They could have warned you that you were about to fall.
Yeah, they should have said, hey, there's a rock coming up you're going to slip on.
Because like I said, a couple inches the other way and this would be a different story. So I feel very fortunate.
It'd be about a Facebook marketplace post about free hiking gear.
Yeah.
Slightly very
used pole.
Might need some cleaning.
Very, very blessed to have good friends, good people that helped me.
Sure is. That's an incredible story. That dude's resilient. Like, that's a tough person.
It's 6.5 hours to hike back down.
I mean, I don't care if there's no blood or not. I mean, you still have a giant stick going through your body, and it has to hurt with every step.
Yeah.
I feel fortunate that this will never happen to me.
Not that far from home, right?
No, I mean, I like a good hike as much as the next guy, but I don't really need a pole to do it. Like, I do a little bit more flat ground trekking.
Poles.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just I do a lot flatter stuff and not nearly as far.
You don't use a pole on your treadmill?
No. My hikes at best involve, like, small rocks and possibly some roots on
pine
the path.
Pine cone here and there.
Yeah. The occasional toad, maybe a garter snake, stuff like that, you know.